Bless the Lord. Well, this evening we're going to, the title tonight is Wake Up, You Sleepyhead. And it was really good worship this evening before we started. And the last song was, I had requested that, about Revive Us. Mm-hmm. And the song went on to Revive Us, O Lord. We truly need to be revived. It's sometimes constantly, sometimes upon occasion. But I wanted us to turn to Psalm 119. Now, don't anyone be frightened. I am not going to read all of Psalm 119 tonight, which is the longest psalm in all of the scriptures. But there's a few things in here. I remember a while ago, in going over Psalm 119, I noticed something, like a little thread. And the word revive kept coming up frequently. So I circled it. So as I went along, I circled through the whole psalm. And 10 times in that psalm, it talks about, there's a call from David, the psalmist, to revive me, O God. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of wanted to, we need to wake up. We need to be sleepyheads. We need to be reminded. And in Psalm 119, it starts out stating, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. And just like in the beginning of that psalm, we often start out great guns in the Lord. Here we are, I love you, Lord, everything's going great and all that. And then life hits you in the face. Smack. I mean, all your great intentions, all the love you want, all the scriptures you want to read, and everything you want to do, and how much you want to serve God. Sometimes you spend more time getting through the battle that lays ahead than remembering that the Lord said, the battle, it's not yours, it's mine. That's right, Lord. I'm busy fighting. This is a battle. I'm fighting myself. I'm fighting the things that come up within me. I'm listening to your conviction. I'm reading the scriptures, and I'm finding out your way, and it doesn't match with the foolishness in my own. And it's a constant battle. And that's just yourself. And then if you're married, you live with someone else who's going through a battle. They have their battle, and you have your battle with them. And then there's neighbors and co-workers and family members. I mean, this extends to everybody within your sphere of existence. It's like there's a lot of battle going on. There is a struggle being a human being on this planet. And when you come to the Lord and ask him into your heart, excuse me, that battle is going to continue, only it's going to intensify, because the heat of the Lord there is going to burn out some of the stuff that is incorrect and sear in some of the stuff that is good. But very often we grow weary. We get kind of confused in the fog of that spiritual warfare. And it's so much easier to pull away from the Lord and just take a nap. Say, there's too much going on. I'm just going to take some quiet time away from everything, including you, Lord. You don't say that, but it's what you do. You don't go to church. You don't praise. You don't sing songs. You don't read the scriptures. You don't pray with your family and one another. And just we get a little weary. But what I noticed was, like, Psalm 119 is your defibrillator. It, boom! It can really give you a jolt there. It can revive you. Go ahead and read it. Not now. Not right now. We don't have time tonight. But go ahead, make that a little purpose in your heart to sit down and read Psalm 119 and listen to what this does. And just don't fade out while you're doing it here. It really is. It's a message to wake up, you sleepyhead, to get going. And this psalm has so much in it. Now, as I said, I'm not going to read the whole thing. And as I noted, 10 times in Psalm 119, it says, David is calling out, God, revive me. And we would do well to do the same. We need to ask God to refresh us and to revive us. Take that deep breath. And in Psalm 119, verse 25, it says, my soul cleaves to the dust. Meaning, golly, sometimes you fall flat on your face. Sometimes you're down there, boom, in the dust. My soul cleaves to the dust. And what did he do? He says, revive me. But he just didn't leave it. He said what? Revive me according to your word. What an encouragement. You can get washed up. You can get revived. And it's in the Word of God. It's in the written Word. It's in the revealed Word of God. I just love that description. It's just like what I was reading was that he was down and out. And he went before the Lord and he called out to be revived. He had some spiritual CPR going on here. When you feel fading, it's almost like when you feel faint in the natural, whatever situation, you sit down. If you know your own body, you know when something's not right. I'm not feeling good. I'm a little dizzy. I have an upset stomach. You know the physical manifestations of something wrong. We need to learn those spiritual manifestations. We can get spiritually weak because what we do is inadvertently or sometimes rebelliously, we let the nature of man, which is the broken one, rule us instead of the nature of God, which is the perfect one. And we do have spiritual weakness, just like physical weakness. And call out to God to be revived. Now, people say, well, if you're angry, punch a pillow. Well, golly, God says, if you're angry, you got to repent. You got to be forgiven of that. That stuff is not of God. So you can't do the same remedies. You know, if you're thirsty, you can take a drink of water. God says, you just come to me, drink of me, you'll never thirst again. That's important. But if you only drink of those scriptures once a year, I guarantee you're going to be thirsty. God knows what he's talking about. Come to him, draw near to him, be revived in him. Stop looking to people and your circumstances to refresh you, to help you, to revive you. And not just physical. I'm not talking just to, oh, I feel so good, I'm revived. Sometimes you're going to be dead exhausted and God can still revive you. He can keep you going. He can give you a joy in the midst of a storm. He can give you a peace in the midst of a storm. And he can give you what you don't have. He gives us what we lack all the time. And that's what this call is out to. And in verse 37, David says, turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in thy ways. He just was saying, I don't want frivolous things in my way anymore. I don't want to be caught up in that. That can weaken you also. And he says, revive me in your ways. Not the frivolous ways of the world. I don't want to look at that. Don't let my eyes turn to vanity. Revive me in your ways. And in verse 40, behold, I long for your precepts. So he says, revive me through your righteousness. Not what we think. He didn't ask for some special little sugar to be sprinkled from heaven. And he knows that his revival is only going to come as he looks to the righteousness of God and lives in the righteousness of God. So he's saying, I long for your precepts, but the revival is through living in the righteousness of God. And how many times have we done that? As you look at your life and you go, wow, I thought, you know, I was having fun, I was free, I was doing all this stuff. It was foolishness. It brought you darkness. It never repaired anything that was broken in you by yourself or others. Only in living in the righteousness of God. And righteousness isn't a bunch of goody two-shoes, you can't do anything, have no fun. This is a vibrant, lively, wonderful life in God. Full of good people and loving people. Families restored. Things working well in businesses. And in the troublesome times, strength and help from the family of God and the body of Christ. And it's just so absolutely wonderful and marvelous. There is no comparison to a life in God to a life without God. You're blind when you think you have everything that you need and that you want without God. It's a lie you're living. It's a deception you're in. And David didn't want that. And he says in verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, that thy word has revived me. How in the world can that be? You don't have a job, your kid is sick, your husband just left. And I'm not saying, oh, just sit down, read the Bible, everything be all right. No. He went to the Lord. He was going to say, in my affliction, your word has revived me. Your truth, your revelation, everything that you are, that's what has revived me. My comfort, my affliction. It's so misunderstood by those who do not have this flow of God's Spirit in them. Going to church does not give you a flow of God's Spirit. You'll hear his word, and hopefully it's a good environment of truth that will lead you to him. But it's only when you and him have that restoration because of Jesus. Only when He is inside of you and that Spirit of God you allow in. Come, I stand at the door and knock. Open it. Let me in. I'll come dine with you. He will not force His way. That'd be like a thief breaking into your home. He will not force Himself on you. He will not be the spiritual aggressor. You come to Him. Humble your stinking self and come to the living God. Now he didn't say stinking. I said stinking. Humble your stinking self and come to the living God. Let Him in. And then this stuff will make sense. God clearly, he so nailed it when He said the gospel and all that I'm talking about is foolishness to those that are perishing. He already clarified it. You are in a dark room with sunglasses on saying, well, I don't see that. I don't believe that. I don't see it that way. Of course you don't see it that way. You're blind. You cannot see it. It is only in His light. Oh, gee, this stuff is starting to make sense. Only in His light can we clearly see what He means. Really, the scriptures are like a love letter that God wrote to us. And we're stupid enough to tell God what He meant by what He wrote. How dumb. That'd be like me writing a love letter to someone I love and someone else explaining to them what I meant. I know what I meant. If you want to know what I meant in the letter I wrote you, you need to come to me. I will explain, because you can so misunderstand everything. People misinterpreting what God is saying. He's not telling you when your house burns down, just sit there with a Cheshire Cat grin on your face and just read the Bible and everything's going to be fine. No, your house is still burned down. You're going to have an awful lot of work to do, and you better be seeking God for wisdom and comfort in that. That's what He's talking about. Not this foolishness that people are talking about. No. God said to laugh with those who laugh and to mourn with those who mourn. Your house burns down. I'm going to be mourning with you. But I'm going to be rejoicing in the Lord because, oh, I don't know how He's going to do it. But He's going to remedy. He's going to restore. He's going to show you what to do. If God said to you ahead of time, listen, I'm going to burn down your house, but I'm going to give you a better one, you would stand there and light the match. But see, you don't know. How is He ever going to build? How are you ever going to have a trust in God? He's not going to tell you every single thing. That'd be like a teacher giving you all the answers to every single math problem, and then you thinking you learned math. You didn't learn anything. All you did was get the answers. You learned nothing of the process. That's all God is saying. He's wiser than any teacher we have ever had. And in verse 93, He says, David says, I will never forget thy precepts, for by them thou hast revived me. Reach out for that spiritual CPR. I guarantee you, if you're sitting there clutching your chest in the mall going, you'd want someone to come by, give you a little something on that chest. You want to be revived. If your physical life is slipping away, you would cry out to be revived. People spend billions of dollars just to live on all sorts of treatments and things because they don't want to die. You're dying spiritually in front of your very eyes. Call out to the only one who can revive you, and that's the Lord. And in verse 107, you see, he's not talking about this mamby-pamby existence. David says, I am exceedingly afflicted. He's admitting to God, I hurt. This hurts. My sin has offended you. Whatever his affliction was, I am afflicted. And he cries out and he says, revive me, O Lord, according to that word. Again, he cries out for revival. And again, he notes that it's in the precepts and the principles of God. And in verse 149, David calls out to the Lord, hear my voice. And he reflects back to God what he's already said. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. He's calling out on that portion. He's calling out on everything of the Lord. God has mercy for us. He has love for us. He has justice for us. He has loving kindness. All of these things He has for us. But none of it is yours if you're not His child. It's the cum si, cum sa of the world. It's the whatever happens in the world. It's good luck, bad luck, fate, whatever's on going on out there. No. God wants us so solid in Him. Now, the ground on which you walk is going to be shaky sometimes. Earthquake. Some of these things are, the water's going to rise. But this solidness in the Lord, that is what makes the difference. And Psalm 119 is making this ever so clear. David totally depends on the loving kindness of God. He knows it is true. He knows God has that in his heart. And all David needs to do is do the precepts of God. And all the things, the whole bowls of everything that God has pours out on David. Yet David, as much as he loved the God, he sinned greatly. He actually sinned greatly. You will sometimes sin greatly. And God's not stupid. He doesn't say, okay, no problem. He deals with it. Sometimes your sin brings a tremendous burden on you, a tremendous accountability. But God will forgive you and help you through that. And then he goes on in verse 154 and he says, plead my cause and redeem me. Now I love that because God told us that Jesus is ever interceding before the Father for us. I don't want to ever forget that. Because I need, you know, like people say, I've been praying for you. And I go, thank you so much. I understand that because this thing worked out. Like I was, went into a church. I had to speak at a church that is a little bit more formal, so to speak. And some of their teachings are fairly strict on what you do. And the Lord was sharing some things through me that was freeing some of the people from some of that bondage. So it's like God is the one who's taking care of this revival. And pleading before the Lord. He knew that he could actually put everything before the Lord. My belief system, how I understand you, God, what I've been taught as a child, what other people have taught me. I don't want to know what man thinks about you, God. I want you to revive me. I want to know what you think about you, God. I want to know who you are from you. And God says, come, talk to me. Enter into my counsel. God wants to have relationship with us. He wants to love us and fill us. This is not some religious ride. This is not religion. Man has made loving God a religion with all sorts of man's rules. You can't wear pants. You have to. You can't wear a lipstick. God will direct you in these things. If wearing makeup keeps you far away from God, he might tell you as one soul, hey, knock that stuff off. And not because it's one of his rules, but because it's something that might be hindering you. So be careful that you don't take a personal direction from God and apply it to all of humanity. And that's what David was saying, plead my cause and redeem me. You're there. And just like I said, I was bringing forth this message and I knew it was powerful, but I knew people were praying for me. So just like you're happy when you hear people are interceding for you, don't ever forget, Jesus, it says, is ever interceding for you before the Lord. And I go, whoa, he loves me so much. He's saying, now, God, you know, we're going to need to help her. She's really in a sticky wicket here or something like that. And I was sharing a quick little example with someone today who went to get a job and she didn't get the job. And so I said, well, be encouraged because maybe someone you meet at the job that you didn't get might have your name in reference for another job where they would hire you. So when I shared with her one time that I was working when I first moved down here to Florida at Kelly Home Care, and I really didn't like that job. It was all administrative and planning and stuff, and it wasn't hands-on and patient care, and I really, really didn't like it. And so I went to interview for a job as a nursing instructor over at St. Joseph's Hospital, the nursing in-service at St. Joseph's Hospital. And I knew I had this job. I just knew I had this job. I had all the qualifications. I had just come back from a couple of tours in Vietnam. I mean, I was ready. And the person that was interviewing me for the job was the chief nurse down at the unit I had just finished serving with. You know, I said, oh, I got this job. Well, she called me back after the interview and said, you know, we've decided to go with somebody else. I was steamed. I was really angry with God. And I left that office and I was banging on my steering wheel and I'm driving down the road. Bam! Some lady runs a red light. I'm in an accident. Busts up the entire front of my little Datsun B210. Couldn't even hardly open the door. I had to crawl out of it. What a mess! As soon as that car hit me, I said, God, I'm so sorry. Here I was banging saying, God, I can't believe you didn't get me. I was so angry with God. Well, it turned out that person that said no to me said, I called me later and said, listen, I gave your name to someone else and they need nursing instructors at a new two-year program, nursing program they're starting up at the college, and you'd be just great for that. Well, worked out great. I was there for like 3 years or something, and some of the students came to know the Lord. So, I mean, all that stuff went on. But the point that I was making to this gal, it looked like one thing was going down, but because Jesus is always interceding for us, I knew after the fact that it was okay, because I can just hear God now saying, she's not going to like this answer on the in-service one. Because, she's going to have a hard time with this. And I can just picture him up and say, calling a few people over and saying, now watch this. watch how she reacts to this. She's going to really blow it. But God loves me. He knew what he was doing. I didn't. And I got upset because he didn't do what I thought. So David is saying the same thing. Plead my cause and redeem me, revive me according to thy word. When I reflected on Jesus is ever interceding for me, it calmed me down in this situation. When I reflected that God actually has a plan for me and I actually volunteered for that plan, I went, okay. So I was revived according to the word of the Lord, just like David cried out here. And in verse 156, he says, great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. He again reminded God, you have promised this. You have talked about your mercy, and I call out for that. And then in verse 159, consider how I love thy precepts, he says. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Now, David is really pouring it on here. How I love you, God. Revive me according to your loving kindness. He's really pouring it on. Do you really pour it on? Do you seek God with all your heart like David did? I mean, are you there? Now, every day you may not, but I'm just saying, when something's in your heart, say, God, I'm coming to you. I'm pleading before you. I need some help, or I need an answer, but I do give it to you. You do have loving kindness and mercy. I trust you. And I'm telling you right now, when you do that, you will be revived. This is such a wonderful reminder. Do not let the adversary lie to you anymore, to be in the darkness and the depression. This isn't going to work, whatever. It always looks to us like it's not going to work. And we need that spiritual CPR, boom, 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 that spiritual defibrillator to revive us, to make us awake to what's going on in the Lord. And in Psalm 119, 169 to 176, it's so... He ends this cry for that spiritual defibrillator. He ends his cry to the Lord by saying, let my cry come before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments our righteousness. Well, I tell you, he is being freed. He is being revived. You can tell it in how he's crying out to the Lord. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. And then he says something we need to make sure we always do. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, Lord, because I don't forget your commandments. Now, what a cry for help. David has, in what he did, he passed out spiritually, so to speak, in some of his sins. He passed out spiritually. He calls out for the medic, and he asks to be resuscitated. And my question to us tonight as we finish up is, have you spiritually passed out? Only you and the Lord can work that through. Let God resuscitate you. Let him revive you that you may live again. God bless you.